Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. Have you ever wondered, what does the Bible have to say about marijuana? Well, that's what we're going to consider together on this week's episode as we talk with Todd about his book, Cannabis and the Christian. I didn't know if and when we would ever have this podcast conversation, but here we are, a podcast discussion about pot.
I think it's a podcast.
A podcast. Yes, yes. So let's just jump right in. Todd, brother, you've written a great book, Cannabis and the Christian, What the Bible Says About Marijuana. And so I thought it'd serve GBC well to hear you talk about your book. This conversation in some ways will just scratch the surface, but I hope it helps equip our church in these type of things. So let's just jump right to it. Why a book about marijuana?
Well, the origin story for it, I write about it in the book. When I was an elder at my former church, Hinson Baptist Church, some time ago, and I can't even remember what year it was, but Washington beat Oregon to the punch for legalization of recreational marijuana. And the day after the ballot measure passed, it wasn't available then because mm-hmm. they had months to prep for it. But we had a congregant come to the church office and ask the pastors, now that it's legal, is it okay if I drive across the bridge and mm-hmm. and get high or use or what? Yeah. And we realized there that the typical pastoral response, which we had used with regard to marijuana for as long as it's been around, was no, you can't because it's illegal. Mm-hmm. But now we couldn't say that anymore.
Yeah.
And so we had to come up with something else. We had to have, I could joke and say, dare I say it, we had to actually think like Christians at this point. And what biblical wisdom is there? I'm convinced that the Bible is it's the authoritative word of God, and it is sufficient for us. We have all the mm-hmm. divine words that we need in order to live faithfully before the Lord. Don't have all the divine words we might want, but thankfully we don't have all the divine words that everyone possibly could want, because that would be quite a large book, bigger even than the ESV Study Bible, right? It would be enormous. What God has given to us is for our good, and it is sufficient to live faithfully before Him. So I scratched out a few thoughts on it, but there really wasn't much to draw on, mm-hmm. honestly. Mm-hmm. A couple months later was going to be a pastor's conference on the Oregon coast. And I was asked to speak there every year, doing a breakout session on theological or ethical hot topics that pastors should be thinking about I think they called it ahead of the curve, or I called it ahead of the curve, mm-hmm. staying ahead of the curve, or something like that. And so I thought, well, I'll just force myself to think about it more. I'm going to do it this year on the pastor and pot is what mm-hmm. I was going to call it. And so I scratched out a few more thoughts on it and did as much research as I could, finding there was virtually nothing out there. There just wasn't much on how Christians ought to think about marijuana. And so I go to the first night where they introduce all the breakout speakers. We're supposed to give a plug for our session, and I said, hi, my name's Todd Miles. I'm doing this staying ahead of the curve thing that I always do. This year's topic, the pastor and pot. And everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. And my session wasn't till the afternoon of the next day. And so for the next you know, 20 hours or so, whenever I would see someone, they'd say, they'd kind of laugh at me and go, "Hey, how about Trinity in the tree, or you know, the marijuana and the minister, or you know, whatever." Yeah. I've heard them A through Z. I've heard them all, right? And I thought, this is just a big joke. No one's going to show. But when it came time for the session, it was basically a plenary. Like everyone came. I remember people were. It was so full that people were actually outside the door, not able to get into the room, but were standing outside the room to listen. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my goodness, the people are like hungry for something on this. So,
yeah.
And then from that point on, I was asked to speak at churches and men's groups and men's retreats. And I did radio and magazine stuff, journal stuff. And I found I had to add a medical marijuana talk to it. Mm-hmm. So I had a recreational talk and a recreational marijuana talk and a medical marijuana talk. And because I think those things, even though the substance is the same, there's no difference in substance between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. The motivations for it and what people use it for are very different, which raises all sorts of different, or it doesn't necessarily raise them, but it ought to raise different kinds of wisdom and discipleship questions. So, and then from, because of that, I was approached about doing a book on it. And so that was how that works.
Yeah. I loved the book. This feels awkward to tell you that as we're recording a podcast about your book, but it's really good. We've given it away our last two book giveaways as a church. How about for the GBC member? Thinks, okay, that's interesting. Is that just, you know, double click on a hot button issue? The Bible doesn't say anything about marijuana. I love the framework you use to help us think about it. So could you kind of maybe put some words to that? How do we think Christianly about an ethical issue like this when the Bible doesn't directly address it?
Yeah. So I'll talk for a bit, interrupt for sure. I almost feel like you're asking me to push play and off I go.
This one, alley-oop.
To be honest, the Bible doesn't mention marijuana. That's not that shocking. It doesn't matter how exhaustive a concordance you have, it's not in there. Marijuana, THC, cannabis, whatever now weeds are in the Bible, and so is tree, but that is not what is being.
A friend of mine in college thought that's what it meant.
The story of the guy who said, couldn't the tree of life have been marijuana?
Well, I've heard it both ways too. I've heard the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where it was a marijuana plant. No, 1,000 times no. nor is marijuana like the result of the fall, like, right, because weeds and thistles and stuff. So there you go, weed right there. No, it's not. I would argue that God's good creation is good, and God is generous for giving it to us, and He gave us lots of really good things. And among those, I would say is the cannabis plant. It's the generous provider. It's a generous provision of a very good God. Now, like all of God's good provisions, it can be misused. And to devastating effect. So just because it's God's good provision doesn't mean that like the unrestrained use of it is a good thing as well. Things like that tend not to work out, or things tend not to work out like that. So what did I do? Again, I believe the Bible is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to frame it in terms of wisdom and discipleship. I think I've shared this even with the people at GBC before. As a person who gets to preach, I am terrified of using the pulpit to bind people's consciences where God would not have them be bound. I think that's a form of spiritual abuse. Yeah. Even so, I really don't want to do that. But I do want to speak clearly where the Bible is very clear. And so, you know, adultery is wrong, full stop. There's no nuance to it, nothing like that. Intoxication, drunkenness is wrong. That's very clear. It's easy to make that case from the Bible that intoxication by alcohol is sinful. So we might be tempted to say, well, if intoxication by alcohol is sinful, then so is intoxication by THC or any of the mind-altering drugs in the marijuana plant that are intoxicating. And I think I'm happy to make that case, but that's a case you have to make. And so what I tried to do is, okay, so now to finally answer your question, what's the approach here? If you're talking about something that's not in the scriptures, you have to determine whether it's an ethical issue or whether it's a freedom issue. Mm-hmm. And there are some things in the Bible, like the Bible refers to them maybe as, or we refer to them as gray areas. The Greek word there is adiaphora. These are things that God hasn't necessarily bound our consciences on, but we can bind our own conscience. And so the motivation for why we'd use them would be very, very important. So Paul talks about food sacrificed to idols, for example. If you're doing it to be part of a pagan worship service, then Paul's pretty clear, no, don't do that.
Right.
But if you're just getting a good deal on meat, he doesn't care unless you're violating your conscience on it. And at which point you could have one Christian who's eating meat that had been, you know, it had that FDA approval stamp on it of dedicated to Zeus or yeah. Artemis or whoever. And so you have two Christians, they got the same meat. For one, they could eat it and be thankful for it and it would be totally right. Another Christian could eat it and it would be sin for him. Right. So this is whatever's not done in faith is sin. The Bible Paul talks about that in two of his letters, both to Rome and to Corinth. So this is a big issue. So is it an issue like that, or is it clearly ethical where there's a right or a wrong to it? I think what I tried to do is to say, okay, so the Bible does forbid alcohol intoxication. What does the Bible have to say about that? And thankfully, it's not just a do not get drunk. We're told throughout the Bible why alcohol intoxication is wrong, and you can look at the myriad of verses, and it causes you to lose physical control. It impedes your intellectual processes, and it also, and this is probably the worst, it impairs your moral judgment. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Bible has to say about alcohol intoxication. If we're dealing with something that's not in the Bible, we have to know something about that thing that's not in the Bible, so we can apply what the Bible does talk about to it. There's a chapter in there about how marijuana actually works, how THC works, mm-hmm. CBD, that sort of thing. And so there's a little bit of science in there to try to figure it out. And what I concluded was, I'm actually pretty okay with binding people's consciences to say, no, you probably should not get high on marijuana. Why? Because it impairs your physical abilities, it impairs your mental abilities, and impairs your moral judgment. The very reasons you're not supposed to get drunk on alcohol. So don't get wasted. Don't get high for those reasons. And there's biblical reasons for why you would not want to do that. And then after that, I want to frame things in terms of discipleship and wisdom and approach it that way. Because what I don't want to do is to say more than the Bible has to say. I think what I try to do in the Bible, both for recreational marijuana and for medical marijuana, is to ask a series of discipleship questions and wisdom questions, so we can get into that. That was a really long answer.
No, super helpful. I really appreciated and thought it advanced your argument well, how you structured and how the chapters build off of one another. It's very pastoral and moving into discipleship really equipping. And I'll say this real quick in terms of just the ethical framework you lined out. I'd love to have multiple podcast episodes about things that are the quote unquote gray area and how to frame them or see them through the lens of biblical principles. So know that there'll be future podcast episodes on that too, because it's important that we equip ourselves how to think and live in the world Christianly. I thought it'd be good to hear you talk a little bit about, Todd, on page 133, you wrote, what we do with the immaterial part of us impacts the material, and what we do with the material part of us impacts the immaterial part of us.
Yeah.
Kind of that drives at what you were just speaking to. Could you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. First, I wish I had used the term non-material instead of immaterial, because immaterial makes it sound like it's not important.
Right.
And of course it is super important, but not, not necessarily more important than the physical part of it. So I think in the, if like, I'm just guessing because I don't have the book memorized, but, but I suspect that what I was doing in there was looking at a, what is it that constitutes us as humans? Yeah. What is it to be a human being? And of course we are this integrated whole of material parts and non-material parts, our spirit, but also, soul, I suppose. I don't have a hard time differentiating spirit and soul, but but our mind. So lots of different aspects of it are not reducible to just a physical thing like our body. Even the way the Bible uses heart is more non-material than it is material. The thing that pumps blood, it's kind of the seat of decision making and such. Yeah. Our consciences, that sort of thing, and God in his wisdom has created humans to be embodied. We are embodied souls, right? Mm-hmm. And we are properly embodied. And so our great hope as our current bodies waste away in this broken world is for the resurrection, because humans are supposed to have a body, mm-hmm. right? Amen. And there will be a time, we call it the intermediate state between when we die and when Christ returns and we get our resurrection body, where we will be in the presence of God with Christ, but anticipating the resurrection. But that's a weird time in the Bible. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5. It's very uncomfortable for him. And so we are created to be embodied, it works synergistically, or maybe not synergistically, symbiotically. There's a symbiotic relationship between the non-material and material parts of us. And we all get that, right? Because as parents, especially, you know that when your young child, not sure how young, but your young child gets hungry, their behavior just craters. So here's the physical part of us impacting the non-material part of who we are. But we also know that if we are in nerve-wracking situations, that will have a somatic effect on us. Maybe your butterflies in your stomach, or you might get sick, or something. You know, if you're stressed, you'll react in a certain way. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way that God has made us. And so to think that we can do something with our body that wouldn't affect our soul or our spirit, or vice versa, is just biblically naive. Yes. I would say.
Yes.
Is that what you were getting at?
Oh, it totally does. That part of the book really resonated with me from some conversations I've had with friends over the years who maybe used to think that, or have pushed that down, and then they think the body is irrelevant to my soul. And just interplay and interchange is Christian. And so,
That idea the body's irrelevant is Gnostic. It's not Christian.
Yep.
Christian.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. The body for humans in Christian theology is of vital, vital importance. It is a weird thing to be a disembodied human.
That's good. I'd love to hear you speak to a little bit. You mentioned it in the book. We've had conversations before that you often receive different types of feedback, almost on either extreme when you've shared on this. Maybe you could share a little bit about those two extremes and maybe what that points to or illustrates a little bit.
Yeah. So I would go around to churches and I would get like two lines of people. And they would kind of self-sort into the appropriate line too. I'm not sure why, but there would be one line of people who are just really frustrated with my presentation because I was so anti-marijuana. They would come up to me afterwards and in their mind, they weren't separating medical from recreational. Mm-hmm. I tried to be very clear. I'm talking about recreational marijuana, but they just, the medicinal value of marijuana was, I remember one lady saying, marijuana cured my dad of cancer. And I would just go, that's wonderful. that's great. I doubt it. I didn't say that, but I doubt it. But that's praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's, they do that. And then somebody would say, well, there were other things that were going on. It wasn't just the marijuana, but they're just very upset that I was so anti-marijuana. And then there'd be another line. They were just super up, Oh, and the thing that was funny was that I would have a pastor. I remember one time in particular, I was down in Eugene, and there was the pastor was standing next to me, and he kept saying to these people who were saying, "Why are you so anti-marijuana? You said blah 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 like this," and the pastor kept saying, "I didn't even have to. Todd didn't say that. I didn't say that." And then the other line would start, and these people were irate that I was so liberal that wow. I wasn't condemning enough, and the. Again, the pastor kept having to say, "But Todd didn't say that either. He didn't say that." So I've learned that people kind of hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And it's helpful to have. Well, it's just helpful to have some stuff down in writing because people don't necessarily hear what you were actually saying. And then sometimes I'm just not very clear, also, which is happens. Yeah.
And that just strikes me because it does point to. Oftentimes people have made up their mind on this mm-hmm. for a myriad of reasons, but we should kind of zoom out and consider what scripture has to say. And I love you gave a talk in Eugene of all places about marijuana. Not that that's relevant or anything. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's the least stereotypically, I would say, that is kind of ironic. Probably. I don't know that there's more used in Eugene than any other place.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Here's another thing that is said a lot is I'll go talk to people. And we'll talk about medical marijuana, and which is just marijuana used for medicinal purposes, and so people will microdose, they'll do that sort of thing, and there will inevitably be a number of people, depending on how big the group is. But let's say that if there's like 20 college students or 20 young people, it probably doesn't have to be young people, but that's who I end up talking to most of the time. Probably three of them will say, "I use medicinally, and it really helps for my ADHD. It helps me for my nerves. It helps me for my anxiety, whatever. Mm-hmm. I use it at night so I can sleep, that sort of thing." So someone will say that. And so we'll talk about self-medication. And I'm not anti-self-medication. I self-medicate all the time, usually with caffeine or extra strength Tylenol, the atomic weapon of over-the-counter headache remedies. I love that. It's just, I use it immediately. It works, right? So I'm not anti-self-medication at all. But that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. When you're using it to treat something, you're using it as, so you've now entered into medical marijuana and the different motivations and arguments. And so there's going to be different kinds of questions you might ask, wisdom questions. Inevitably, though, at least one of those people, sometimes two, will come up to me afterwards and say, "Todd, thanks for what you were saying. I just got to be honest with you now. I wasn't honest earlier. Mm-hmm. I get high every night and I don't know how to stop.
Yeah.
And I need help." Mm-hmm. So that's very routine as well. Wow. So that is often heard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As an elder at Gresham Bible Church, if someone comes up to you to have that conversation, just what do you think we should get out there? Like my mind goes to, I hope our church can hear, we want to have that kind of conversation. Oh, maybe there's someone no one else knows. Someone has to get high every night, every day, whatever, for whatever reason. Like you should talk about that with your elders. And what would that conversation look like and sound like, Todd?
Well, I think that we would want to help you get help.
Yeah.
And that we would not treated in any sort of shameful way. I mean, honestly, I think it would be super easy in our contemporary culture to find yourself addicted to marijuana, just like people are addicted to opioids. Yeah. But now opioid addiction has a spotlight on it. And we know how addictive opioids are. You almost have, how should I say, you would have even more sympathy in my mind if you were addicted to marijuana or THC, because all of the cultural messaging and everything from marijuana advocacy groups are telling you it is not addictive, right. it is not addictive. Mm-hmm. And that is a lie, just a full stop lie. Now, it's not as addictive as a number of substances. Certainly opioids or even like caffeine is more addictive. Certainly nicotine is way more addictive. Yeah. But THC is addictive, and about I can't remember what my numbers are in there, but I think close to 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 regular adult users will develop a diagnosable addiction to it. And 1 in 8 teen regular users. A regular user is someone who uses at least three times a week. What is an addiction? Well, it's where you create artificially a need in yourself that is so great that you are willing to risk harm to self and others in order to meet that need. Mm-hmm. And so you become irresponsible. You might not realize you're being irresponsible until someone tells you or until you crash. But so that's what it is. It's not going to go away easy, and it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take the Lord working in your life and probably through the normal channels of how we would treat any other chemical dependence at this point. But it can be that serious.
To me, I know it's a short book, but that was one of the strengths, is you did a great job citing different studies and statistics. Like it's not just you riffing on it in your opinion, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely tried not to do that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there is a lot of stuff there, and more is coming out all the time, which is really, really good. If I were to say, why is this such a big deal? Well, here's a few things to be concerned about. One, it is addictive. If you're a teenager and you're using, just a really, really bad idea, because THC, and this is not even arguable, or you can't argue against it. It is just fact. THC interferes with brain development. And here's the problem is, you don't get it back, right? You just don't get it back. And so you are permanently stunting yourself. Now, I'm not saying if you're a teenager and you go out and you smoke a couple joints that you're just going to start flunking out of school because you've gotten stupid all of a sudden.
No, that will happen. Don't do it. There you go.
As Jordan chimes in, fastorally here. Yes. The studies, that there's no doubt that there is an IQ reduction for teenage regular use, and you just don't get it back. I don't want this to sound judgy or anything, but if you've talked to enough people, if you've been in, say, pastoral ministry or counseling, you've talked to enough people, you will run into people who when the conversation's over, you'll think, man, you smoked a lot of pot as a kid, didn't you? Mm-hmm. It's just a fact. I'm sorry if that is offensive, but it's true. And you don't get it back. There's one study that I saw where the researcher found an 8-point drop in IQ.
Wow.
That's crazy, because the IQ is like 80 to 120 and the average is 100 by definition. So 8 points, that's crazy.
That's a lot.
You're destroying yourself at that point. So super dangerous. Also, and along with that, it interferes with brain development, and female brain usually fully developed around age 22, 23, males about 28. It's not like, hey, I'm 18. I'm 21. I can drink.
Now,
I'll go smoke some pot now. No, it's not any more safe for you. Because the brain is developing, here's the third thing that is even exacerbated for young people is the links between mental illness and cannabis use are the evidence is growing. It's like there's a super abundance of it. I even saw an article in the New York Times a couple months ago highlighting a number of things, and that was one of them. The evidence is just overwhelming. And certainly what is no one doubts is that if you have a genetic propensity towards mental illness, that the THC use will bring that mental illness upon you sooner than what would have been. And so I would just urge anyone, if you have mental illness in your family, stay away from THC.
Yeah.
And what's super dangerous about this is that the marijuana advocates out there will tell you, oh man, if you struggle with this kind of mental illness or that kind of, well, you try THC, it will help. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. Here's one more that's like super gross, but I see it all. I'm seeing more and more of it in the newspaper, and my sons who are in med school tell me about this as they work in the ER. It's called hyperemetic syndrome.
Where you throw up all the time.
Yeah. And which is weird because one of the benefits of THC is it is an anti-nausea. Mm-hmm. But if you smoke enough pot, it actually almost has this reverse effect on you where it's just uncontrolled vomiting. And people like my boys are in the ER on Friday nights that work helping, you know, they're doing their doctor thing and in come these people and there's nothing they can do for them. You know, they hook them up to an IV and hydrate them until it just works its way out of their system. And they're like, what can I do? And they're just brutally honest. Stop using, stop smoking pot. This is why you have this. Mm. It's you've crossed the line now. You can't use cannabis anymore without this happening. So anyway,
there's so much to this topic. I'm going to state some obvious things. So we're talking about this because of Todd's book, but this isn't like not applicable or relevant to us as a church. So Regression Bible Church in Oregon, where it's legal. I don't know how many dispensaries I drive by in the average week. I drive by at least one every day on my way home from the church office to home, talk with my young kids about it. Wouldn't surprise me if the younger generation in our church is going to have to wrestle with this maybe in more ways because it has become more quote unquote normal, et cetera. So it's important we talk about it. It has real implications and ramifications for how we think Christianly, for our whole selves and our health spiritually, emotionally, physically. So I think this is a super important topic. I could say
Portland,
more, but
Portland has the very famous, it's not as famous anymore, but on Burnside, it's called the Green Mile. And it's like a mile and a half, which had the highest concentration of marijuana dispensaries in the world.
Wow.
And it even says on the billboard, you've now entered the Green Mile.
Man.
According to ganjapreneur.com, Oregon has the most dispensaries per capita in America.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Oregon.
Yeah. Go Oregon.
There's over how about, 20 in Gresham alone.
This is probably overly simplistic, but just I think it helps crystallize some things. So I have a mug here in front of me with a delicious substance called caffeine.
Yeah.
So Todd, what's the difference between caffeine and marijuana? Are they both addictive? Yeah. Are they both altering in some way? How would you help us think about it?
You're just straight caffeine. There's no like Mountain Dew or coffee in there. It's just straight caffeine.
Well, good call. It's coffee.
Oh, it's
with
caffeine. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, coffee's problematic.
I should go straight caffeine.
So nasty, but
I don't know if you should go straight caffeine. I don't think you should recommend that on a podcast. Yeah,
you talk about it in the book, but I think it's helpful to think about it.
Okay.
In those ways.
So caffeine. Well, at some point we probably should think about this from a Christian perspective.
Agreed.
In terms of like what the Bible actually has to say. Although I think this is our Father's world. This is how He created us. And so all of this actually is a Christian perspective. What you want to do is you want to evaluate the benefits versus negatives, the drawbacks, kind of a cost benefit analysis. Sometimes that's the path of wisdom. And so you need to be aware of what the concerns are.
Yeah.
Certainly. If you're going to try to use without getting intoxicated, and that raises another question whether that's even possible or not. Mm-hmm. But certainly some people microdose for the medical benefits. Okay, so caffeine. Caffeine is mind-altering, but it's not intoxicating. And you can become addicted to caffeine, or at least that's what we say. I'm addicted to caffeine. What do we normally mean by that? Well, I'm not weaponizing caffeine anymore. I'm just warding off headaches all the time.
Yeah.
So unless I get my caffeine in the morning, then I have a headache. And there's a certain amount of I hate that in my own life. Because what I want to be able to do is I want to say, hey, caffeine is a really cool thing that the Lord gave us, and I want to weaponize it for the kingdom. And if that means that I can drive more alertly at certain hours of the day, or if I have a test I need to study for, or if I have a sermon, let's Christianize this. I have a sermon that I have to prep, right? I'm doing God's business.
Yes.
And then a little caffeine will help me stay more alert, or will help me focus, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then praise the Lord for that. What a kind and generous gift. Now, we can create an artificial dependence on it to where we're warding off headaches, but that still doesn't meet the clinical definition of addiction, where you're like risking harm to self and others, like to make that next Starbucks run. Yeah. I normally don't see people. I mean, if you need it so bad that you're like breaking every traffic law, running over people or whatever, then yeah, you might have a problem.
Yeah. I know it's not sound from a logical or biblical standpoint, but I've had conversations with people about this topic. Well, you drink coffee. It's the same thing. So I think it's important to delineate those two things.
And, yes. And also, so it's mind altering, but it's not intoxicating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you can operate a motor vehicle while drinking coffee.
Yes.
You cannot operate a motor vehicle while smoking a joint.
You shouldn't. I saw someone the other day next to me who they shouldn't have been driving.
You get ticketed for that. It might be allowed, but it's not. It's allowed at home, not while you're operating a motor vehicle.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And so I think that's the main difference. And then just to, because normally one question I always get is, what about CBD? Mm-hmm. CBD is mind altering, but it's not intoxicating. Mm-hmm. And it's not mind altering in the, it's mind altering in a non-intoxicating way. So I really don't have any concerns about, and also CBD is not addictive either.
Yeah. So that is important to kind of, where does it sit in that framework and what the Bible clearly speaks to or not.
And there's some people who swear by the medicinal benefits of THC and they swear by the medicinal benefits of CBD. Some of those things, the Food and Drug Administration has been able to isolate and prove and reproduce, and other things, it's more anecdotal. There are some very powerful drugs that have been, that utilize CBD, which is just one of the many components of the cannabis plant, that have been an enormous blessing, especially for certain kinds of epilepsy and reducing seizures. Thank the Lord for that. A lot of the benefits of CBD are more anecdotal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about it. I know it's expensive.
I appreciate you bringing that component of it up. For those that haven't had a chance to read it yet, I would encourage you to, great book by our dear brother who we know and trust. I think it's really important for our own discipleship of, for those of us with kids, just for the next generation of our church. So Todd, I love how the book ended, really emphasizing the discipleship piece. You leave with multiple questions to consider, just some quick helpful things like, you say on page 157, can we apply the arguments in this book to other drugs? And the answer is yes. So it's a good framework on how to think about things.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to give people the kind of a format or a way of thinking that they would be able to, I don't know if it's something else, mushrooms or whatever, that they could then apply the same format. The different research on, because it's different substance and you'll react in a different way. But and then thinking through some of the discipleship questions, I think, you know, the kind of questions from a discipleship standpoint, like, so you're living your life before God. What kind of questions might you want to ask? Can I be sober-minded while I'm using THC? Because we're instructed over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are commands, be sober-minded. And sober-minded has to do with watchfulness. It doesn't have to do with like not being drunk. But I would argue it's impossible to be sober-minded while you're intoxicated. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. Yeah. But it's more than that. And so will THC use enable me to be sober-minded? Will THC diminish my ability to honor Christ with the way that I think, taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ? Will THC, this is the psychoactive component of marijuana that most people are going for. Will THC diminish my ability to honor Christ in my actions? If so, then I would say you probably shouldn't use it, right? Will THC enhance my ability to commune with God? There's this category of things called entheogens, where people think if I take this drug, then I can kind of tune into spiritual realities that were not available to me before. And of course, I just don't see anything like that in the Bible at all. I don't have a category for that. Scripture says a little heart, wine makes the heart glad. And wine was used in the religious practices of both the Jews, Old Testament Jews, and the New Covenant Christians, which is what we are. So I don't want to say there's like nothing there, but you're nowhere instructed to like drink a bunch of wine so you can meditate better on the word of God or something. Yeah. And then at the end, I do ask a series of questions on just gray areas that I think are really helpful. Just, you can apply them to anything. Am I fully persuaded this activity is right? If I can't do it with thanksgiving to God, if I can't do it with faith, thank the Lord he gave me this thing. Like I think I can do that for caffeine.
Yeah.
Right. but if you can't do that, with THC, then you should avoid it. Is this an activity that I can practice and say, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm getting high as unto the Lord, right? Maybe not. Will my use of this be a stumbling block to those around me? If so, the Bible's very clear. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. And so anyway, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found the book really, clear, helpful, equipping. Again, encourage people to read it. It'd help your own soul and you'd be equipped to have some really important conversations with people in the life of our church, or maybe people in your life about this issue that's not going away. And so we need to think about it Christianly, for sure. So Todd, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. It was so fun to read this again and hear your voice as I read it.
I'm so
in my
sorry,
mind.
Man. No, hope you were operating heavy machinery while doing that. That'd be dangerous.
A great book. Appreciate it. So, we say this,
if you get the Audible version, it's not my voice.
It's not.
Oh. No, I didn't read the,
is it
I didn't
like
read
some,
this one.
Like awesome, like British guy or what's, I, who's man, the voice?
Like I wanted Matthew McConaughey or James Earl Jones.
Yes.
It would have been good, but
no, it's not.
He's, I think
you
some,
had no
some
say
actor.
In that. Okay.
I told him I'd be willing to do it. They said, oh man, that would have been great. But we already, most of our authors don't like to read their own books.
Oh, so interesting.
Tom Parks.
Okay.
Is who narrated it.
Okay. I hope he did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, thank you. We say this every time at the end of the podcast episode. We really mean it. Whole point of having a podcast at GBC isn't like to spark consumeristic instincts or scratch that itch. It's to really to like cultivate in-person conversations about important things for the health of our church. And so I'd encourage anybody, if you're struggling with marijuana and even in the realm of addiction, man, your elders want to talk to you about that and support you in that. If you're helping someone who is struggling, let your church come alongside you in that too. So I hope, especially this episode, that there are real in-person face-to-face conversations that come up from this. And then lastly, I'd be remiss if not periodically, we want to mention our friends at Humble Beast and thank them so much for their kindness and generosity in letting us use their great music for the music you hear on the podcast. So Todd, thanks again for the conversation.
Thank you.
All right. Christian Bible Church, love you. Until next time. Thanks.